again tuned in to Conversations on the Rocks. And this is the coolest host, you know, your homie Ice.
And Miss Tish.
We got Los Vegas. He on IR today. He on injured reserve. He was jumping in the bed, landed on his feet wrong and shit. So awkward. So he may be calling in a little later. But
little
yeah.
Buddy.
Shout out to little buddy. What speedy recovery, man. Godspeed.
You gotta climb down. You're doing too much.
He's watching Space Jam and shit. But yeah, you know you tuned in to another one. Conversations on the Rocks, man. Shout out Rhythmics Radio. Yes. Monday nights, 8 p.m. You tapping in with the gang. We got the homie, Scotty, Mr. Madison in here. And today, we're going to switch it up a little bit today. We do got Lowe's calling in, so we're going to plug him in.
Oh, shit.
But today, we focus on back to school, man. In here in Prince William County, you know what I'm saying? Back to school for the kids was today, and a lot more kids were going back into school physically. So we're going to talk about everything back to school, you know what I'm saying? The kids in COVID, teachers, and everything. You know what I mean? And with no further ado, we got Los on the call. What's going on, Los?
What up, bro?
Yeah, what's good with y'all?
Oh, sound like you up, Los. Sound like you laid up, man. You all right? You ricing that thing?
Man, look, I had a little freak, little accident, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
nigga about to bounce back. I ain't worried about it.
Okay.
Okay. Is this about to be a close with low story next week?
This one might be, so you know what I'm saying? I'll give you all the details when I get back to
okay.
The studio, man.
Okay. He just got a new bed. He was trying it out, just jumping on it and shit, just landed wrong, huh? I'm going to let you know, JB said, take some ice out the cup and put it on your ankle.
Hey, man, look, you know what I'm saying? Once again, I'm explaining all of that by the time I get back, man.
Okay.
Still not.
Speedy recovery, buddy.
Looking forward to it.
So with no further ado, man, let's get into pregame. Love, cheers. Salute.
Thanks.
Salute. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, you had left the thing early. And today, man, pregame, just man, checking in. It's a lot going on. My daughter went back to school today. And she was actually excited, really excited. She's like, I like all my teachers. I'm like, okay, it's just the first day.
Right. Break.
But she was really excited, though, and I was happy to hear that. So, yeah, man, had a great week. Had a cookout Sunday, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody who came through the cookout. It was a good
Ooh,
time.
Really good.
Shout out to Chef Adrian.
For sure.
If you ever in the area, man, follow him on IG, Chef Adrian 85. Man, he does his thing, man. He'll do private parties, pull up to you, do cookouts, bar mitzvahs, baby showers, weddings, divorces, all that. So, make sure y'all tap in. But, yeah, also today, actually, I got some blood drawn today. You know what I'm saying? I opened up another life insurance policy for my daughter and shit. So, they had to come in, holler at you, weigh you, measure you and shit, and come draw your blood. You have to piss in the cup, all that good shit. But shout out to them. But, yeah, it's been a busy weekend. And
What did try to hit you with? A couple ounces?
Yeah, what it was for the urine? Like,
for the blood. What
oh, man, took two vials and shit.
He said for the urine?
For two vials. For a second, I was lightheaded. I'm like, damn, I'm taking too much. But nah, man, they did two vials, and you know what I'm saying? Hopefully everything should go well. So my blood pressure was great, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to my blood pressure.
That's what's up.
But yeah, anybody out there, if you got kids or whatever, man, you want to pass down some generational wealth, make sure y'all get a life insurance policy, man.
Definitely.
What you been up to, Tish?
Chilling.
Yeah.
Doing inventory, you know, working.
Okay.
Being
getting
a mom.
Everything ready for Mia Moore's scents. You got new flavors and candle rollout?
Yeah, we doing body definitely
butter.
Doing a fall one, too. I had a great photo shoot.
Oh, wow.
With Tony and yeah, she's on my Facebook. If you guys look on there, you'll see the link to her.
Okay.
what else did we do this weekend? Sleep. I slept.
Sleeping is
good. You know it ain't too many days you can really lay back, relax, so I had to enjoy it.
How was your weekend, Scotty? I know what you starting school season. Actually, y'all started last week.
Yeah.
But y'all started officially because the kids come back in school today.
Yeah, right. Yeah, teachers, we went back, what, 2 weeks ago? Just trying to iron out some things, fill everything out. We made it through day one. Let's just put it like that. Day one is always, it is what it is. It's a curveball.
Yeah.
You just wing it. The biggest thing is trying to get the kids in the building off the bus safe and get them back on the bus safe. Right. In the first couple of days of school, it's not too much. But I tell you, after not being in the building for a year and just seeing that amount of kids at once, it's like breathtaking. Like, hold on. Hold on. But it was good. It was good. The kids was upbeat. A lot of kids was in good spirits. You know, the mask thing wasn't an issue, which I didn't believe was going to be an issue from jump. A lot of kids, you know, kids nowadays, they just go with the flow.
Yeah.
All right, I got one of my masks, cool. But, yeah, no, it was great, man.
That's good.
I'm beat, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
You know, I think day one overall, as long as the kids made it and made it home safe, they might have been late.
Yeah.
Making it home, but they made it home.
We're
going to
get into that, too, yeah.
You know, I think that's a plus on our end.
That's good, man. That's good to hear. Los, we got you, man.
Yeah, man. I'm here.
How was your weekend, man? How did you have a good weekend?
Hey, man, my weekend was good until this got started, you know what I'm saying? Friday night school, got to shout out to my sister. Her birthday was just coming up.
Los. Hey, talk closer to the phone, my man.
Okay. Yeah. But other
there
than
we
that,
go.
But, yeah, other than that, my weekend was good, though.
That's what's up, man. So, you say everything happened, went down here on Friday. Okay, I'm just trying to make...
Nah, it didn't happen Friday, man. It happened Saturday.
Saturday,
that
okay.
You know what I'm saying, when everything
trying to dunk on the goon squad.
Down.
No doubt, man. We wanted to just make sure we chimed in with y'all. And if anybody can't hear Los, he's calling into the radio station. So, y'all want to tap into... rhythmicsradio.com and y'all can hear us. But with no further ado, man, let's get into our next segment,
yes,
which is
sir.
Opening shots. Salute to everybody in the building. And opening shots today, man. I saw a couple stories, and this is all going to be, of course, since this is our back to school episode related to the kids, back to school teachers, all that. Couple stories I saw. Thousands of students tested positive for COVID in LA. You know what I'm saying? Also, thousands of students, the same in different parts of Florida. And then in Hawaii, they started rolling back, making all the kids go back to virtual. So my thoughts, my question to everybody here is, what's the impact, and what do we think we're going to go back to a full virtual school just like we did most of last year? And I'm going to start with Tish. What you think?
Hell yeah, we going back to the house. This shit was stupid as hell. They did not plan this out properly. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because, you know, they receive money per child within their county or their schools. So, I don't know what's up, but none of it makes sense.
You feel like it's only a matter of time that, you know what I mean, we'll just have to get back into
it. Fauquier County had 1,000 students that were quarantining just last week. So, I mean, it's coming, you know. It's coming. And most of the children in middle school and elementary can't get the vaccine anyway.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, how smart is this?
It's just passing it. It's like, it's just dodging bullets over here. Hey, don't put your hands on me. You know what I'm saying? Put your mask on.
Yeah, so, I mean, they are doing some good things within the school system in Stafford. They're letting the kids stay in the classrooms for lunch instead of going to the cafeteria, and then they're congregating in a mass, you know.
Trying to keep any kind of spread down.
Yeah, but I'm mad that they had to make a mandate for us to really know if kids are being exposed so we can make the decision to pull the kids out or not. It shouldn't have to be mandated. Like, the school should want the parents to know this, you know.
I agree.
All right, so this is the opinion of me, not of my employer. My disclaimer.
Disclaimer?
I honestly think as educators, we went into it knowing there's a possibility that it could go back to what it was.
Yeah.
I hope we can make it at least to winter. But the more and more I see, and the more and more I see when I'm just out and about, it's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fight. And again, it's, you got that age group that don't even have the option of being vaccinated, mm-hmm. you know, and mixed with some kids that are. And, you know, technically we can't get into detail and even, like, dive in. Like, you got your shot, you know, got your,
right. So it's a private matter.
My hopes and prayers that we do make it, you know, at least to winter. But, you know, when those breaks start rolling in and people start traveling. It gets kind of crazy around that time. I mean, because us teachers, we are in the first 2 weeks of any school year. That's why I like reading all those reports.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, the first 1,000 kids is sick, 1,000 kids is out. That's every school. That's pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Those first 2 weeks, 3 weeks of school, that's when everybody get pink eye and lice. You know, long before the COVID hit. It
goes around for months in the school.
It hits those first couple of weeks because everybody's immune system different. Everybody's been different places.
Right.
And then it starts to, you know, die down once, you know, once people's antibodies start kicking in.
Right.
You can ask teachers all over the world. Those first 2 weeks of school, you popping vitamin C, you got your zinc pills. Because you never know. But I hope, man, I hope as just a society, we could be like, yo, let's be smart about this.
Right.
I mean, we all know the times. That ain't the case, man. Everybody has an opinion.
I agree with you. I hope so, because I'd rather the kids to be, for many reasons, not just education, to be inside of schools, you know what I'm saying, versus in the house.
Right.
I just feel like even just mentally, that has to be some anxiety, like a lot of, you know what I mean? So
y'all ain't feel like them kids was getting slow. I'm going to just say it, like, because I looked at my son one day in the summer, and I was like, oh, you're going back. Yeah. Like, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
Like,
Same shit. And I couldn't wait for her to go back, my daughter to go back. You know what I mean? I agree. I hope that my assumption is wrong and that we'll stay the whole entire year with the kids in school and we'll maybe have some minor breaks here and there, but we'll be contained and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or if at least along the way we get smarter on, okay, maybe we go back to 4 days or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some type of alternate whatever. But I feel like Tish is on. It's the inevitable. It seems like the writing's on the wall. So over here, what they doing? Okay, over here, what they doing? Okay, we gonna do the same thing. Oh, I didn't.
I hope the reason for this, us rolling back everything so quickly, is to give us time to get stuff in place. So when they do come to that point, it's more organized. So that's what I'm hoping. The plan, the mindset.
Yeah.
Let's roll back. Let's roll it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get these teachers, get these students time to get acclimated, get a routine going. Teachers get a routine with their students, get some flow. And then if we got to lock the key and send everybody away, now we got at least some kind of rhythm. We got a rapport.
But, like, how safe is that? You know, like, so you're going to say if that's the thoughts, then it's like, I'll put you in harm's way until you actually are in harm's way. You know what I'm saying? Like, duck and dodge as much as you can.
Yeah.
But when you hit there, then we'll, you know, revisit this.
Well, that's the nature of the beast. I mean, with the field that I'm in, that's how I felt last year when I was one of the couple hundred in the county that had to go back day one.
Right.
And this is when everything's still up in the air. And it's like, am I the guinea pig?
Like, how nervous were you to do that?
It was wild. It was,
and did you guys get hazard pay?
Let me rephrase. There was no hazard pay during the year, but at the end of the year, they rolled out something for everybody who did work, you know, during the school year. But when it first rolled out, and no, it was... Yeah, you going back. And like, wait, hold on. wait, time out.
So that's a good segue into my next point in opening shots, which is you spoke about hazard pay, just pay in general. Like, why aren't teachers paid more? You know what I mean?
Great question. Mm-hmm. This has been like an argument for all time, you know? Like,
because I feel like it seems from my vantage point, most people agree that, at least after this year, for nothing else, that teaching is hard. Teachers are essential. They're vital to really the community. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But they get the shorter end of the stick. So, what can we do? Why don't they get paid? And what can we do to make sure that they get paid? You know what I'm saying? Why you think, Tish?
That would be something that the county would have to revisit, each county or, you know,
yeah,
however they divvy that up. I think that they need to revisit that and really, you know, understand the value of the teachers. I'm sure that they do. But, yeah, they need to understand, you know, the value of teachers. But I think that this situation here with the shortest staff and the teachers resigning and, you know, going on to do other things is going to teach them a lesson. The same way, you know, I'm in the HR industry and we definitely feel it trying to employ people.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to understand just like we do that we have to value the employees and pay them their worth.
Yeah, I think I see it on both. I got it on both sides because I didn't come into this as a teacher from jump. Like, I've been on both sides. I've been in the private sector.
Right.
You know, I've been in before I decided to get into teaching. And if you look at it, then this is what I always tell people that's on the outside looking in. Like, what other job, what other profession requires you to have XYZ degree, certification,
speak on it,
this,
yes,
training, that, the third, and be at the bottom tier of most pay scales? You know what I mean? I've worked with teachers, I've met teachers. There's some teachers out here got 2-3 master's degrees in different subjects.
Yeah.
They in school in the summer, getting more certifications, recertifying. Mm. So that's what I always put on the table. People say, you know, I don't think teachers get. You find me a job where you got to have a master's degree or master's certification to get paid this amount.
Right. And even with that, it's like teachers are the ones who nourish us. Like, you're a teacher because, you know, you went to school and you decided, okay, this is something that I want to be. You know, I'm in my field because somebody has taught me along the way and, you know, made sure that I was able to excel. So I'm like, they should be valued at the highest, you know, in the market. So I'm not understanding how some of them are barely paying bills.
Yeah, I mean, there's some teachers, if you think about it, if you do the math, there's some teachers that see students or children more than parents.
Yeah.
If we do the math, I mean, we technically with most children more than they with their, you know, with
most
within
definitely
the home, outside of summer,
you know.
So a lot of parents are working with their colleagues and around their colleagues more than their families,
right? And vice versa for us. We working with other people's children, you know, more than we with our own family sometimes. Right. So it's the gift and the curse.
it's a great way to look at it, man. And whatever, anybody out there listening, you know what I'm saying, whatever we can do to make sure that gap is changed for teachers, because they are vital to, I feel like, the community. Because at least for me, I know it introduced me to education, information, research, knowledge, you know what I'm saying, facts. Yeah. So I feel like, and school isn't for everybody, and everybody doesn't learn the same, but I feel like education is important. So shout out to the teachers and all everybody out there who was is out there during what we got going on in the pandemic and shit. So, yeah, man. Well, let's get into last call. You know what I mean? And really, this is, we're just going to get into Mr. Madison and just, you know what I'm saying, teaching background and all that. So,
all right.
Shout out to the Uncle Nearest, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice and smooth.
Nice.
But yeah,
a long day.
Just first off, like, how long have you been teaching?
So as a full-on classroom teacher, this is year four for me. Prior to that, I was in the classroom as a SPED assistant for, I think it is 6 years as a TA, and that's just pretty much an overpaid sub.
Okay, like a high so for everybody who don't know all them terms,
So I'm a special education teacher. I've been in it as a teacher for 4 years, but prior to that, I was a teacher assistant for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Before stepping away and then coming back. And I tell the story to my students all the time. Did I ever once in my middle school, high school, elementary school tenure say I'm going to be a teacher? No.
Yeah.
Never, not a day in my life that I said I wanted to be a teacher. It was something I just fell into. I mean, I grew up, my mom was a daycare person, so around kids all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was just something like in the summer I do summer camp.
Right.
You know, I coach all the time. And then I after I graduated from college, when the radio thing didn't pan out, I was like, let me just find something I know I can slide in and, you know, figure it out. So I was doing some stuff in the community, Boys and Girls Club, all that good stuff. And then somebody just happened to roll up on me and was like, you ever thought about working in a school? All right. You know what I mean? All right, cool. So I did it as a job, but I got lucky. I got in with some ladies, some older ladies that just took me under the wing, told me some ropes, you know, let me work my kinks out. And then I stepped away because the money coming to play. You know, you fresh out of college, you trying to start your family, and the checks don't be rolling in, like, you know. So I stepped away. I rolled out, did, you know, the public sector, private sector, did a little bit of everything. But it just wasn't, you know, like, you go to work, but it's just like, all right, I'm at work.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's just emotion.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't rubbing me right, like.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll go back to school. Well, the one thing I never thought, I was like, all right, let me go back to school, you know, take these classes I need to at least get my certificate, my provisionals.
Okay.
And I did that. Then I was still second guessing, like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they just came out of the wire, similar to this, teacher shortage.
Yeah.
One of my friends was like, yo, just throw your name out there and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, a week before school start, I get a call, get an interview. The principal was like, yo, I'm going to take a shot. He said, I usually don't hire people on provisional, but I'm going to take a shot and we see what happens from there. Right. And I said, hey, you willing? I'm willing. Let's go. I just lucked in, man, and. You know, the first year wiggled my way through, and the more I learned, the more I linked with people. It just became like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. Like, this is something like they need a couple of me's around these parts. And I like middle school. People always be like, yo, you like middle school? But middle school funny to me.
Why? You gotta think.
It is that innocent, like
elementary. They don't know much. You know, what I mean, they want to be nature, they want to be cuddled, you got, like, I do that at home with my kids, so, like, I didn't want to be high school, after coaching high school for 6 years, I knew what high school was. High school was, like,
he's some wild animals.
You know, yeah, like, I knew how we were in high school, like, we're not trying to hear that much, you know, it's give or take. Middle school is funny because it's that in-between stage when you try to feel your, if you think about it, if you even think about it, when you was in middle school, that's when you make your relationship, your friendships. Yeah. You learn about relationship stuff. You learn, like, how to weed people in and out your life.
Yeah.
It's like that transition stage.
Yeah.
So I like it in there because you see the kids come in from elementary. They don't know nothing. You know what I mean? They fun, happy, go lucky.
Be more malleable in middle school.
Right. And that's what it was. I always tell people, elementary school, you teaching foundation. Middle school, you teaching life skills. Like, you teaching, you in the mix of molding somebody. Because high school is too late. High school, it's sink or swim, especially nowadays. Yeah. High school sink or swim now. Yeah. It's like, so I like middle school because you can mold, you can mold, you can get in there and, like, dog, that ain't, I don't do that. You know? So it's that molding stage. It's weird. It's wild. You got some left fielders, you got some right fielders, you got some kids that's just trying to figure it out. So that's why it's funny to me. You ain't gonna see the same thing twice in middle school.
If I was a teacher, I would want to do middle school too. Yeah, that's a good transition period.
I tell everybody, like, dog, middle school fun. If you can deal, you if you got kids,
all right.
Yeah, and you can deal with the back and forth without getting too emotionally involved, you can do middle school. Yeah. Because middle school is at that age, you got to tell them like it is. Like, if you keep it real with them, like, if you keep it 100 with middle schoolers, they be like, all right, he ain't playing. Like, all right, okay, I got you, Mr. Madison, I got you. You know, but elementary, you can't go too deep with elementary because they're too young. They're not going to get it.
Right.
High school, it's too late. You talk to a sophomore in high school the same way you try to talk to a sixth grader, it's too late. They done already, they done experienced some things that start to mold them, you know.
And they got Google in their pockets.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I like middle school, man. So I just fell into it, man, and I'm just riding the wave.
Nah, that's dope, man. So it seemed like, just from hearing the story and just knowing you, that you have this passion. It kind of almost seems like you're good with kids. Like, where did that come from? Was just the, like how you said, how you was raised, you was always around it?
Yeah, man, I gotta chalk that up to my mom's, you know, RIP. From what I can remember,
yeah,
we always had kids daycare in the house from, you know, when I lived in D.C. in Bowling, and we moved to Germany, we had kids in the house.
Yeah.
We moved back, so just being around different kind of kids, different, you know, different type of people.
Yeah.
It was just second nature, like, all right, yeah, I can adjust to that. I can wing with that, that's cool. I think that, and then, you know, my older cousins, he was always, you know, hooked me up with summer jobs, working summer camps and stuff like that. So all that, it just taught me how to just deal with different personalities, different behaviors.
Yeah.
And then from there, I just ran with it, man. Hmm.
In your class, do you teach all the subjects? Yeah. Or do your students move around from class to class as well?
Yeah, so I'm a teacher of students with autism.
Mm-hmm.
I work with the higher function of students. So what that means is I work with kids who, if you were to see them in a regular setting, you probably wouldn't even know that that child had a disability. I mean, some you might see because they got little tics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, my class, I teach all, I'm in the self-contained room, so I teach all subjects.
Okay.
Math, science, social studies, reading. I got a life skills class where we talk about life, how to organization, time management, all that. Yeah, I teach all grades, 6th, 7th, and 8th. A lot of times it's at the same time.
Wow.
Yep, three, four different things at once. So I could be teaching him how to multiply integers. Wow. He doing consumer math. He doing fractions, and I'm like, so that I'll tell my friends by June, my brain is washed.
How do you prepare for the school year to be able to juggle all of that?
It's hard. I'm not gonna lie. It's hard. It's the first thing is I always do is those first 2-3 weeks of school. I don't even worry about content.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about rapport, learning my kids, learning what, you know, abilities of my kids. Because some kids, they real capable of doing more than what they give off, but they in that comfort bubble. Okay. So, I just try to keep it 100 with my parents. I tell all my parents, my back-to-school night speech has been the same since I started. Your son or daughter going to hate me the first couple months. After they hate me, they're going to call me like, Mr. Madison, kind of cool, Mom. And by the end of the year, they're like, I'm the hottest thing since sliced bread. Because we went to war those first couple months. Mm-hmm. I'm going to war because I'm pushing you to limits. All I'm trying to see if you can do it, but you just don't want to do it, or you really can't do it.
Yeah.
So we knock heads, and that's part of it. And then once we get that hurdle, well, then it's all downhill from there. We good. So I tell parents, listen, let me do what I do. Some parents like it. Some parents don't.
Yeah.
You know, I get some phone calls. I get some emails. But then,
when as time progressed,
they'd be like,
I get it.
Okay, Mr. Madison, I see what you... But that come from coaching. That come from just me being, working with high school kids, coaching. It's the same. That's the same mentality I put into my classroom. Like, I'm going to push you.
Right.
I'm going to push you to either you break or you say, all right, enough's enough. I can really do this. Let's roll with it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, but... My first year, I'm not going to lie, my first year I was in there like, I don't remember how to do some of this stuff. I don't know, like, But it's really all laid out. Like, a lot of people, the assumption when you talk about teachers is a lot of people think teachers just go in the room and start making up stuff. But for real, the state really outlines, you know, what we got to teach, when. I mean, they really, they give you a game plan, and then it's up to you to take that game plan and put your own little twist on it.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, I'm going in the room like, we going to talk about this.
Still, you feel following the curriculum.
Yeah, so it's still a curriculum you got to follow, but, you know, it's you get a lot of leeway on how you present that information to kids. So, so it took some time. My first year, I had to go back, find my old notebooks from, you know, like, I remember how we did this. Okay, let me show them this way. And then, you know, they learn the new math.
Totally.
Oh, man,
different.
We were talking about that new math the other day.
Me and my son sat at the table one day. I just bust out crying. I said, look, I'm just trying to help you. Can you help me?
Yeah, I love it when I get those calls about, man, it's new math. Right. Man, it's new math. I'm like, look.
You got to follow that process. You can't go the old way, even though the old way works.
It's not that you can't. It's logic to it. All right, so... And I tell everybody, the what they're trying to teach the kids, when we was growing up, they used to always say, you're not going to have calculators to rely on. You're not going to have this to rely on. You're not going to have this. Now they lying. Like everybody got a calculator on their hip.
That's real, though.
So what they tried to do is they tried to flip it, and they tried to they're trying to teach kids to do stuff mentally, to do more mental math. So by learning those... That the box and the square and all that's just all building blocks. So when you get to the math that we grew up on, you know, the math, a lot of those quick facts you could just pull like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you're not saying, oh, wait, 30 times 2, let me write it out.
Yeah.
No, now you're like, oh, wait, I remember if I build on this, boom. Now when you get to those 4, 5, 6-step equations, that first line, you knocking out, like, oh, yo, all right, two times this is this. Okay, I remember that. Bow, bang.
Yeah, because when that shit came out, man, it was like, this, what? This is not the same shit we saw, dog.
I looked at that on paper. I was like, mm-mm.
That's wrong.
I had to have a meeting with the teacher, like, can you please explain this to me? And she was like, it's okay. That's okay. I'm like, yeah it is okay, because we ain't do it like this. All you got to do is do this, do that, boom, that's the answer.
See, nah, so they tried to make, and that's why I know I don't teach elementary, because that's a whole nother. Like, you got to teach those building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
When I get on, they got the building blocks. I just got to add on to it. So, but no, it's just building blocks of trying to get kids to be able to recall math facts or math things, you know, quicker. Because they don't do, like, you know how us, we had the minute math. I pulled out the minute math. Remember the teachers give you a worksheet? It would be like 50 questions. You got a minute to try. Man, I pulled that out with the kids. Looked at me like I was crazy. Like, what the heck? But this is how we learned to memorize math facts. That's their thing. The whole block and the carry the one with the two. And kids be teaching me. I'm like, all right, you got to show me that.
Are you guys more textbook now, or are you guys more using the computers and online?
That's a good question.
It depends on the teacher. With me, a lot of the textbooks that we have access to, they also have an online version of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we use textbooks. It's just not, you know, us in hand, it log into this, pull up page, you know, 3-4. But then on the back note of that,
it's more digital. You all right? You all right, Lo? Is that you, Los? You still there with us?
I was listening.
Okay. I thought you fell or something. Look, just making sure you was good.
Man down.
Nah, but on the flip side of that, me and Ice, we had this conversation. Now kids got Ice, they got access to everything.
Yeah.
So they can fact check you like that.
Right.
So you say this.
It better be.
Hey, Google, when did such and such happen? You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's the thing is with today's society and kids, you got to come with that different element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's too many facts that's accessible to them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, a smart kid can really teach himself what he needs to know. It's just up to you to make it relevant. You know what I mean? So they lock in on it. So it depends on the teacher. I mean, I'm more of a tech guy.
Yeah.
So if I can find a tech a tech side to it,
yeah,
to keep the kids locked in.
Right, have them paying attention longer.
Yeah, then I prefer that avenue rather than always book. Now, right, do we touch the book? Do we got to dive into the book? Yes, because right, we got to fact check and all that. But if I can find an avenue.
Switch it up.
You know what they think? Switch it up. Because I say this all the time. What does every kid got in their pocket?
Cell phone.
Laptop, tablet.
Google.
All that. So it's like, why not show them ways to be successful with it than say, don't use it?
That makes sense.
Because that's what I know when I had my regular job, if I didn't know the answer, Google.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, teach them the skills to be successful with it. Not so, you know?
So what is something, just being a teacher, that parents don't know about teachers, would you say?
We on your side?
That's a good point.
Technically, we both got the same goal.
Right.
The same goal is to get your child to the best of their abilities.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, your vision and my vision on how we do it might be different.
Right.
But we got the same goal. We want your child to be just as successful, you know, as the next child. As the way I go at it is, when I'm in the classroom with somebody else's child, I want to feel that somebody else is treating my children the same way.
Give them that same amount of time.
Yeah.
So, even the badass kids.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Those be the funny ones.
I was gonna say, those turn out to be the favorites.
Right. But that's the thing, because those kids, it's funny, because people say that all the time at the school of math. Like, yo, you really good, you know, with our difficult kids or so and so. And that was me. It was me. Every kid got that teacher. If you think about it, every kid got that one teacher that tap into something different,
right?
And you approach the situation different. Like, yo, he was right.
Yeah.
So that's all I do. I just keep it 100 with the kid. I keep it all the way 100 with some. There's some students you got to graze there's some kids you got to keep it that way.
Yeah.
You got to keep it all the way 100 for them to be like, oh, yeah, you're right, Mr. Madison.
You're right.
I wonder
how much of that comes from your coaching as well.
That's what it comes from.
Some who just get it, where some just need a little bit of push, and some who need, all right, I'm gonna stay on your ass.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You just.
It's rapport, man. It come down to rapport. If you don't know your student base, your student body, it's not gonna resonate. Like, I could go into a classroom and tell somebody, look, you need to be here on time.
Yeah.
Blah 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 blah. If I don't have no rapport with that kid, it's just like, yeah. But if you took the time to learn or build something with that kid, and you said, then I'm like, oh yeah, all right, Mr. Madison, you tell me, yeah, okay, I got you. And I think I told you the story about, I used to tell all my high school kids that coaching high school, every year when I coach high school, I used to tell them, yo, school not hard, it's a business. So you gotta approach it, you gotta treat yourself like a business and know what it takes to be successful. Like,
it would be nice if teachers told us that back in the day. It would be nice.
Right.
Yeah, because keep it 100. Every kid not going to be an AB student.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want them? Is our goal to push them to that AB status? Yes.
Yeah.
But every kid not learn differently. So you might be an AB student on the report card, but that don't mean you're not going to be a success in life.
100%. Right. 1,000%.
It's different for everybody. And so what I used to always tell my high school guys is, you got to see it as a business for yourself. Your job is to come to school in the pass. Now, if your parents say passing is AB, that's your parents' expectation. But in school, the pass is a C. Now, do you shoot for that C just for satisfaction? No.
Right.
But you know where your point is, where you need to get to be successful, right? Exactly. To have success. Everybody's success is different.
Yeah.
But to be successful, this is your guideline. And I tell them all, being successful is you showing effort.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between kids failing and not failing.
Yeah.
Those kids showed some kind of effort that the teacher said, okay, this might be his best.
Yeah.
This C might be another kid's A.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he put forth the effort. So I used to always tell my athletes, look, there's no reason you should fail any class in school.
Yeah.
If you make it to class on time, you do your classwork, you participate in class. I used to tell them, make the class before the bell rings. raise your hand in each class period 2 to 3 times. Hmm. Know the answer or not, raise your hand.
Right.
Participate.
Yeah.
Do all your classwork. Turn in the majority of your homework, and I guarantee you pass with a C. Guarantee. Hmm. Nah, coach. Try it. And they will never believe. I'll call teachers down to practice. I'll call teachers down to team meetings. Yeah. And I'll give them scenarios. You got 2 kids in your class. You doing your report card. They both got a D. They both bubble Ds. They both, one got a 69, the other one got a 68.7. So now you playing back in your head. Student A, oh man, he's always on, he's in class on time.
All right.
He be trying, he raise his hand, he participate. Homework, he got about 85% of his homework in on time. All classwork turned in. Test grades, you know what? I'm going to give him those extra points. I'm going to give him a C. Hmm. You got student D, come to class late, play around, don't participate.
Don't care.
You know, homework every once in a while, classwork every once in a while. But he's smart enough to do good on tests. So that's how he, I always say, who you wavering to? Oh, easy. 75-90% of the time to you. Oh, easy. It's the kid that showed the effort.
Right.
I'm gonna give him that extra bump.
Yeah.
Cause he's showing me that he's at least trying. He's showing up to class.
He wanted it more.
Yeah, and that's what I tell kids, yo, if you show effort in anything, somebody gonna give you the benefit of the doubt. And that's what it come down to, man.
Yeah, that's some valuable information right there.
Yeah, but Coach, how you know that? So I graduated. That's it. Yeah,
realer than that.
Yeah, that's how I graduated. It was some classes that, I wasn't totally locked in, but I knew if I went home and I had that, that CBA, it was going to be a problem when I got home.
I stayed on punishment. Stayed with a D.
The funny thing with me is, I knew I could do better, but I was one of them kids just wanted to be a class clown, just floating by, I didn't really put too much effort in, because I don't feel like anybody tapped into me and was like, yo, put some effort in. If somebody would have told me or believed in me, or teachers like, yo, I see this in you. Like,
that's the difference, man. I mean, it's maybe less than a handful of teachers that was able to tap in, tap into me and like, all right, I see what you're saying. Right. And I think I can think back, high school, it was I don't know if y'all was it, because y'all all over. Y'all remember Officer Scott?
Mm-hmm.
Light-skinned guy. Officer Scott kept it a buck with us.
Right.
And that a lot of us, he changed a lot of our courses in high school, because we was all kind of shaky. Yeah. But Officer Scott always kept it 100 with us. And he used to always tell us, this going to happen. It's going to be you. Blah, blah, blah. And the more we listen to him, the more we used to see, he right.
He might be on to something.
So he changed that mindset of us, selling it down to high school. And then in college, I had a professor in college who just kept it all the way 100.
Yeah.
Like, most professors always had, that above, they was above you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He always came at us like he was one of us. Mm. I'm no different than you. I'm no different than him.
Yeah.
This, that, and the third. And him doing that, I was like, I can be successful in college. I can get through this.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's those teachers that tap, know what I mean? That tap into you.
Definitely change things for you.
And you'd be like, all right, that's what you're saying. And if you ask people, if y'all think back, it's probably one or two teachers. Right. That you met.
I was just about to say, y'all remember Miss Bird?
Yep.
Yeah, she used to catch me every time I was skipping class. She was always I know you got class.
And it was funny. I had a conversation with Miss Bird after I finished high school and went back to college and came back to coach at Hilton. Miss Bird was still there before she retired. And I'd be like, and I used to walk the hall and be like, we was this bad, Miss Bird? Like, this was us? She's like, this was y'all. This is why I used to stay on y'all. But it was funny, to go back and see it. Like, we used to do yourself. That. And they were like, I think I called my dad a couple times. Like, Dad.
My bad.
I used to do this in middle school. My bad. I didn't know I was like that. But it's funny, to now go back and just watch. You'd be like. Yeah.
I haven't been back since, but it would probably be surreal to go back and see what it's like. You know what I mean? Just to see the energy, what they're wearing, how they're acting. It's all that. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It is so different. They got the long nails, hair to the floor, all type of stuff going on now. It's totally. You know how when we were at school, they used to do, like, the finger test and all of that stuff. If your skirt don't come past your fingertips.
I remember that.
It's a wrap. You got to go home. Miss Bird was on the clothing. She would send you home quick.
Yeah.
They got tube tops and all type of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's wild, man. Like, I remember at the cookout.
Yeah.
When I first started teaching, I used to sit back and watch and listen to conversation, and I used to go home and be like, yo, these kids talk about stuff that I ain't talking about to, like, I was a senior. You know what I mean? Like, stuff. And so I tell parents that ask me all the time, like, yo, my son going to build. And I say, yo, just picture yourself at that age.
Right.
Time, like, go 3 years up. That's legit.
That's how
it is.
They have matured.
It's like, if you think of yourself in sixth grade, add 3 years to yourself in sixth grade, and think about how you were in ninth grade, that's middle school.
Yeah. Oh, it makes sense, though, with technology and this thing's getting faster, but it's just to realize it,
Yeah, it's wild, man. I tell people all the time, like, some of these conversations I hear in locker rooms and hall, I'd be like, look, y'all got to stop.
Stop. I don't need to be in here while y'all saying
stop before I call your mom. Like, yeah. So, and that's, you just got to keep it.
Yeah.
You got to keep it 100 because, like I said, they got access to everything.
Right.
Like, they can fact check you, or they can hit you with some curveballs or something that's totally false. Because that's the new wave now is, If it's on social media, it's legit. Real.
Right, that's some bullshit.
So that's the big problem is false narratives sometimes reign supreme over facts. Yeah. The kids just run with it. You know what I mean?
If it's more, I heard somebody with Charlamagne be saying, "Why believe the truth when the lie is more entertaining?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What Jay-Z say in that line? I can't remember, but he said some like, we respect the ones that shot, they respect the shooters. Yeah, that's true life how it is, man. It's
crazy,
like,
weird thinking.
The way social media got stuff now, like, it's kids getting praised for doing wrong.
Yeah.
Over people that's doing, you know, that's doing the right thing. Because it's popping. It's on TikTok. You know what I mean? It's
all
on
to go viral. Yeah. You know?
It's crazy.
No morals.
Man.
No morals.
Hey, Los, you still with us, man?
Yeah, man. You know,
You got any questions for our guests?
Yeah, Scotty. The only question I had for you was, how do you deal with a bad child and plus, like, their parents? Because you
need to be my next question.
So everybody who's on IG and on the social media who did hear, he said, he called in, Los Vegas called in, he said, how does a teacher deal with a bad child, badass kid, and their parents? Go, because everybody want to know.
I tell you this. If you don't got facts or data to back up what you're saying, you're a fish out of water. Yeah. So before you go anything with a parent, You better have your ducks in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I never take offense to it, because that's any parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially you women out there. Woo. Man, they go into mama bear mode and it's on and popping. But that I'm saying, you gotta have facts.
Yeah.
You gotta have, I mean, to the point, you gotta have what might cause these behaviors, what you've seen cause these behaviors.
So you gotta play therapist.
You gotta have your ducks in a row, because I put it on my foot. If somebody come at me and say, you know, your son is this, your son is doing that, your son is that, I need facts. Like, you can't just call me and say this, that, and the third. Right. Of course, she gonna come home and be like, nah, dad, she lying, nah. So you know, you got. The more evidence you got and you can back up, and hopefully you got an administration or somebody with this, the better. Because, I mean, it is what it is. Everybody's not an angel. You know, everybody. And I think as a parent, you got to be real.
Right.
Because I think a lot of times the parent takes it as you singling out.
Right.
But in our eyes, it's not what we're singling out. That one student is now hindering the education of 20, 30,
right.
25 mm-hmm. other kids because yeah. now all of my focus
right.
is now shifting from
yeah.
the we's
yeah.
to the you's. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's why I said you got to have facts, man. You got document. That's the one thing.
Delicate situation. Yeah,
that's the one thing that the ladies that taught me the ropes. Documentation. Mm-hmm. You better have some.
Yeah.
At this time, when, okay. and then at this time, this.
Be thorough with
you
it.
You know, I tried to contact parents here. I met with parents about this. It continued, blah, blah, blah. Because, I mean, any child going to say, nah, mom, he picking on me. Nah, he this, he that. Now, right. do that happen? I'm a realist. It does. It can. You might have some people that take situations out of control. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we all not built the same.
Right.
But do I think that's the majority? I don't think it's the majority. I think a lot of people in this day and age are able to separate the two, but there are some people that is not very good at handling, you know, situations, scenarios. So the best thing is documentation, man.
Yeah.
That's how I handle mine. This happened. I'm just letting you know.
I know that's right.
I'm documenting. I called to give you a heads up. This is still happening.
Yeah, they definitely be outside of my classroom every day. You're not gonna play with me. Yeah.
So
they transfer.
Any? Do you have any teacher pet peeves by any chance? I'm just curious to know as a parent. You know what I mean? Because parents, we go into the situation only thinking from the parents' point of view.
Yeah.
We
definitely.
Never put ourselves in the shoes of a teacher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know. I'm just talking for myself, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've never done that.
I don't know. My biggest teacher pet peeve in my situation is enablers.
Okay.
Like, a lot of parents mean well.
Yeah.
But they don't realize how they're enabling, you know, they're enabling their child more than, you know, they need it. Like, That's the biggest, like, that's the hardest thing to explain to a parent is.
Yeah.
You got to back, like, you hurting this situation more than helping the situation.
Right.
Because I could get a kid in my class and I could read a report. I can get information from the parents that he can't do this, he can't do that, he can't do this, he can't do that. And I get him in the room for 2-3 months. I'm like, he do that every day. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like, no, that's not true. But we don't see it. We don't see it as parents.
Yeah.
You know that sometimes we gotta
be in our own way.
Yeah, we gotta back off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's
tough,
like,
pill to swallow, right there.
Yeah, I mean, even me as a teacher,
I'm telling you for me, like, even if I was here, I'm sure some of that is true.
Yeah, as a teacher,
you know,
dad,
I mean?
Like, even me, I'd be like, yo, I gotta let them figure it out. Yeah. And that's the thing is I like about this generation is you gotta listen more. Like, you got to listen to the kids, because they telling you what it is,
mm-hmm.
or they telling you what the problem is, but we so locked in on, this how you saw, I did this in my day,
right.
you missing the point, they trying to tell you how to help them, but you so gung-ho on how it should be, you missed the gem right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it, man, we got to stop being enablers. As parents, and it's a hard thing. It's a hard pill to swallow.
Not for me.
I am not gonna be
responsible for your homework, so I can't do the shit anyway. Yeah. So, you know, go.
Like,
be
this
one.
This is my theory. This is my thought on school or classrooms. Is, you know, once you got a rapport with kids, as a parent, like, if I feel that my son's teacher or my daughter's teacher has a rapport with my child,
yeah,
I would rather my child fail in a safe environment,
right,
and hit those walls in a safe environment,
yeah,
to get into the real world or get out in the streets,
mm-hmm.
and hit that same type of situation,
yeah,
and got no clue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I tell, like, you gotta shake,
right,
let me do what I do and shake him up in this safe spot, this safe space, so if he crumbles, we got stuff in place that can, you know what I mean, that can get them back on track. then he go out to high school, you know, college or the workplace, and he hit that same type of scenario
with no safety.
Like I ain't never been in this situation
don't know how
before.
To respond.
So I
very
mean,
true.
You gotta let people fail sometimes.
You definitely right about that. How do you learn? Yeah. Like, what are you learning if you're not gonna allow them to fall a little bit?
Yeah, you gotta feel the fire. So you know, oh wait, that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the big thing, enablers, man.
I think that's some great advice, man. I think that's some great advice, cause, and we may be blind enablers, and we don't even know it in different ways. You know what I mean? So. And I know with technology and the busyness of just life, you know what I mean? Sometimes we make excuses, but
it's hard to
take.
Math.
You got to make that. We got to take that time, though, man. Yeah. Even I'm speaking when I say that, I'm speaking to myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean that's probably my only real big pet peeve about just teaching is. There's some teachers that are, I don't want to say not good.
Right.
But like any job, you go to any job. There's some people that just do it as a job.
Yeah.
And there's some people that do it because, they was built for this, you know? So you run into those roadblocks. So that's every job, though. That's Apple. You can find people at Apple that just in it because it's money. And then you can find people at Apple that's in it.
All about Apple.
So I mean it's the same way with teaching. You got some teachers that's in it, that's locked in.
Yeah.
You know, and you got other people that at this point it's just it's a 9-to-5, you know what I mean? So it's gonna be some bumps in the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got
speaking of bumps in the road, like are they gonna get the bus system and everything together, you think, anytime soon?
I honestly think it's the money part. It's like I said earlier, like teacher wise, what other profession where you know a teacher got 2-3 masters, you know, all this, all that, and the pay is what it is.
Yeah,
I mean the bus drivers at that same, that's put them in that same element. Yeah. What other people got the responsibility of 40-50 kids, somebody else's kids,
mm-hmm.
and they hands.
That's real.
I mean, even minimum wage,
even Metro pay. Metro, you can retire on Metro.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
I mean,
and I would say one would argue that the passengers and the cargo in a bus is more valuable than that of one on a Metro.
Yeah, I mean, and I think COVID shook up the educational world because. As teachers, it shed a light on us, on a lot of people, like how people really saw us, like,
right,
word. That's how much we worth to everybody. Like, send them back.
Hmm.
We know people dying from this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They all right. They got master's degrees. So that's why I think you see this gap, this fall off of teachers and bus drivers, and it was almost like it was a slap in the face for a lot of people, like. Word? Okay. Like, all right. We already paid this. And now you just said, the hell with your health. No, I need you to teach my kid for six, 7 hours while I chill at home.
Right.
Because it's at that time, everybody was working from home.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, y'all go ahead and handle this. I'm going to do my 2 hours on my laptop and roll out real fast. You know what I mean?
I was definitely going to say something about the daycare aspect of it. And, you know, how a lot of people just wanted the ability to be able to either have their alone time or they wanted to go back to work in peace.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a bad thing to say. It's a tough thing to say. But there was a majority of people. That's what it was. It was that daycare element of, you know, I need my alone time back. Like I need my me time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as an educator, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
You know, if we watching all this happen, or we watching all these businesses shut down, we watching all these people getting opportunities to work from home, and then y'all like, nah.
Go ahead.
Y'all go ahead, go handle that in the building real fast.
I don't blame you.
Like we already understaffed before the pandemic.
Right.
Now we even more understaffed with less resources, and y'all like, yeah, go ahead, go handle that.
Nah, it's good to hear your perspective on that, because that 100%. Makes you like sit back and go, okay, yeah, let me scale it back, you know.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, man, how can anybody get in contact with you? Maybe some teachers out there who's like, you know what? How can you help me with a different approach? Whatever.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you, I'm not the best. I'm not the worst. Like most teachers, I figure it out and I help what I can. I'm in the county, so I mean you can look for me on the county, my county email. If you're in the county, I'm always, if I don't know the answer, you know, I will try my best to direct you to someone who told me the answer so they can give it to you better than what I can.
Right.
So definitely, I mean, I do that. I will say this, Prince William County has a lot of stuff available for parents that I don't want to say they don't advertise it well, but I don't think they get it out as strong as they could. It's a lot of resources in Prince William County that people don't know. That Kelly Building got, you need it, they got it. It's just people don't know. Like, so I just challenge people, if you're a teacher or if you're a parent that just looking for that extra something, go to Kelly Building. There's some stuff in there, man. It's some resources galore in there. From you know, my field, special education, there's special education resources available in that place galore. From, you know, high school on, it's some stuff that people don't tap into that go to waste.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've seen it the most with COVID. They spent big money on trying to supply families in need with materials. And
I like that they was doing delivering the lunch. I like that.
Yeah, they did the food, but even on top of that, like, they was giving families packets of supplies for the summer and during the year to help kids at home with learning that just went untouched. I mean, warehouses full of equipment that they bought from Amazon that they was forced to. So people who actually took advantage of it, I mean, it was full in vans. Man, I was watching people come with vans, and they like, oh, take this, take these.
Oh, wow.
Take this. Oh, you have the kids you got? Take these, too. So, yeah, I mean, it's resources, man. Tap into tap into the county. Tap into what's available, you know. And if you're not in Prince William, we're surrounded by some of the richest counties in the nation. Yeah. Forget the state.
Fairfax, Loudoun.
Yeah, we they rich for a reason. So tap into them resources, man.
That's
the biggest thing. That's what's wrong with you know, a lot of the schools is people don't know how to tap into resources correctly. Everybody always, you know, argue about the East End, the West End. The West End got more, the East End and this. Yeah. They know how to tap in.
And on that same note, before we get out of here, tapping into teachers who may need supplies or schools that may need supplies and resources.
That's the biggest thing that I really want people to know. It's a lot of teachers, it's a lot of schools, it's definitely a lot of families, you know, still right now, and they're struggling. They need supplies. Kids need clothes. Students need clothes. Shoot, teachers need clothes. So I just push everybody. Get to your local school, your local elementary, middle school.
Yeah.
Try to find out who that social worker is. Get the contact for the social worker, you know, in that school or in your area, because they're in need. Yeah. You know, they get calls constantly of families that need money to eat, family that need school supplies, family that need clothes. So tap in with your local, you know, just go to your son and daughter's elementary school. When you drop them off one day, you know, is there a social worker I can get contact for, you know, so I can donate? I was telling you, I donate every year. I try to pick one or two elementary schools and just donate supplies or you know, just drop off some pencils or erasers or something, you know. Even if it's something.
We're definitely, Conversation on the Rocks, we're going to put something together and donate to a local school.
Definitely.
We're going to figure that out. But Scotty Madison, appreciate you for, you know what I mean, tapping in with the gang, man. You dropped a lot of gems on us. A lot of things I didn't even know about, from Kelly Building to resources to just the perspective of a teacher in a pandemic. So great, thank you for what you do, man. And
no doubt.
Keep going. And we're going to, whatever we got to do to help teachers get paid more money, man. Yeah. We here for you. So
another thing, we black males, we gotta get in the building. Yeah. We got to get even teacher, volunteering. Yeah. We got to get in the building, man, because every year I watch the number dwindle. Hmm. And it's us who get in trouble the most. So right. I think if more of us was in the building, I think we could turn those numbers around.
Yeah.
You know.
That's good. Hey.
That's a great point.
Everybody in the back listening, man. Hope you heard them. Before we get out of here, a real quick word of some ice. And to get your week started, man, this one is from the latest Nas album. It was like a skit. But it went like this. What you believe about yourself is everything, and what others believe about you is nothing. I'm going to say that one more time for everybody. So what you believe about yourself is everything, and what others believe about you is nothing. And I felt like that was fitting for the back-to-school episode and, you know what I mean, just starting off this new school year, and we about to round out the rest of 2021, you know what I mean? And just have high belief in yourself, a high level of belief, faith, dedication in yourself, and keep going. And you got anything before we roll out, Ms. Tish?
I want to shout out my son, Spinball Productions. Okay. The dude is sick with the editing, and, he's self-taught. So you guys go click on Spinball Productions on YouTube. Okay. Let him know that I sent you. Show him a lot of love. Share the videos. Give him some feedback. Because he works very, very hard on it.
Okay. Shout out to Spinball. And Los, what's good, man? How you feeling over there?
Hey, man, I'm really feeling bad right now, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm missing the gang. I'm over here laid up. But other than that, man, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Scotty for coming on to the show, man.
No doubt.
Coming to fuck with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, Los, he had to take some time, some game management, time management, you know what I mean? Had to rest up. We got the championship next week.
Oh, yeah. Like, when is this going to happen?
It's the season finale. You know what I'm saying? We got the championship. The season finale is next week, so you got to get ready for that. You know what I mean? And, yeah, man. He's not going to be.
I see you, Los. Game 7 mode.
Yeah. We in there, bro. You know.
He did that on purpose. So we all got to report him. All right.
Well, yeah. Get well out there, man. And, again, Scotty, appreciate you for stopping through.
No doubt.
And Rhythmic Radio, you already know. You're tuned in Monday nights, 8 p.m., to Conversations on the Rocks. And you know, always have your Conversations on the Rocks.
For sure.
Salute.